There was no way it could work. Could it? I don't know, Soph, I said, torn between knowing it was ridiculous and really wanting it to work. It sounds more like a rom-com plot than an actual thing that will produce results. But, she pushed her empty plate into the center of the table and dusted off her hands. We lose nothing by trying. Neither of us are interested in being in a relationship, so we don't have to worry about that. We're not lying, we're not pretending, we're just being friends. I couldn't argue with that, could I? The only change to our lives is that we're hanging out more and posting photos on our socials, Max. I knew there was something very wrong with this plan, but at that moment, I couldn't come up with what it was. Fine. Will you be my friend, Sophie? 1,000 times yes, Maxie.
Chapter 21. Sophie. Larry can do it. Max gave me a weird look as we approached my door.
You really think he's going to be up?
It's only like 11, I said, pulling my keys out of my clutch. He's a total night owl. I unlocked the door and pushed it open, relieved that I could hear the TV, for two reasons. First, I really wanted Larry to be awake because Max and I were going to ask him to take some photos of us that we could post. Second, I didn't trust myself not to attack Max after the kiss at the side of the restaurant. It had been better than the first, if that was even possible, and ever since the word sex had come out of my mouth, I'd been distracted by the thought of having I'm getting mine sex with him. I want your hands on me? I might never be over that moment. I dropped my keys on the table beside the door and went in, leaning down to scratch Karen and Joanne, still carrying my pumps by my fingers because I hadn't wanted to put them back on my feet. I sensed Max following me in, and when we reached the living room, no sign of Larry, even though Friends was on, I turned around, and he lifted his phone and took a picture of me. "What are you doing?" I asked, letting the shoes fall to the floor. Max looked down at his phone and smiled. "Oh, I'm posting this one." "What?" I walked over, looked down at his phone, and holy shit, he'd taken one hell of a picture. Not of me, I looked like a hot mess, but the shot, me wearing his tuxedo jacket over my dress with my heels dangling from my fingertips, looked very intimate. Like the photo had been taken by someone who was there with me after the party. "Wow," I said, a little embarrassed because the sleepily flirtatious look on my face was apparently what I looked like when I was thinking about sex with Max. Is that my turned-on face? "I look tired." He raised his eyes to me. "Or something." Or something. I knew he knew somehow, and I could tell he liked it, which I really liked. God help me. I cleared my throat and said, "Now let's do you." He didn't speak, didn't move a muscle. "Come here." I took a step closer and raised my hands to his shirt. "Let's undo your top button and untie that tie for the picture." I looked at his Adam's apple as I untied his tie, then unbuttoned the top button. "Maybe the top two, actually," I said, undoing the second button as well, feeling a dip in my stomach when I watched him swallow. There was something very sexy about an Adam's apple at point-blank range. "You trying to get me naked, Steinbeck?" he asked, his voice a little raspy. I raised my eyes to his, and heat slid down my spine as he looked at me through heavy-lidded eyes, his jaw hard. My hands rested on the front of his dress shirt, the same place they'd rested when he placed them on his chest earlier. I swallowed. "No comment?" he inquired quietly, his eyes burning into me. "Your chest," I said, blinking fast and feeling off kilter, "is incredibly solid." He raised an eyebrow.
"That's your comment?"
"It's the only thing I can think of when I'm touching it." I cleared my throat again and took a step back. "Smile." I raised my phone and he still wasn't smiling. He was smoldering at me, and my breath caught in my chest a little as I took the picture.
I brought the phone down and looked at the display, where Max looked like the sexy villain in a very R-rated movie. "This," I said, a little breathless as I looked at the photo, "is perfect." Suddenly, we heard footsteps approach.
"I thought I heard you,"
Larry said, walking into the room with a book in his hand.
"Hey, Julian."
"Hey, Larry," Max replied, and the fact that he didn't correct Larry made me want to laugh. "How's it going?" I didn't hear a word that Larry said as he rambled to Max, because I couldn't stop looking at the picture. It wasn't until I heard, "I'm going to take off," that I snapped back to reality. "What?" I asked, my cheeks warming as they both looked at me like I was out of my mind. "I'm going to take off," Max repeated, a smirk on his face as if he'd known exactly where my mind had been. "Thanks for being my date, Steinbeck." "I had fun, Parks," I said, and realized I actually meant it. I'd had a great time. When was the last time that had happened? "Good night," he said, reaching out a hand to tug his jacket from my shoulders before walking past me, tossing the coat he had just casually removed from my body over his shoulder. I felt frozen, rooted in place, as he left the apartment with his jacket on his finger, the door closing behind him with an audible click. Dear God, I was literally, literally lightheaded.
"Is he your boyfriend now?"
Larry asked, setting down the book and walking into the kitchen.
"Because that man is fine."
"No," I said, picking up Joanne, following him and taking a seat on one of the kitchen stools as he put on a kettle for his evening cup of sleepy time. I took a deep breath to shake out of my lustful haze. "Believe it or not, he's the guy I paid to stop my wedding."
"Shut up."
He looked at me with wide eyes.
"How in God's name did you reconnect with him?"
I'd told Larry the story one night, but hadn't really talked about Max, just the way things had gone down with Stu. He needed a favor. I told him all about the weddings we'd stopped, and how we were purposefully flaunting our fake but not so fake friendship for our personal gain. It wasn't until I got to the part about the kiss, I only mentioned the first one, that he got that Larry look on his face.
"You're a fucking idiot, Soph,"
he said, slowly shaking his head.
"What?"
I scratched behind Joanne's ears. "Can you be more specific?"
"You can't fuck around with chemistry, you silly little asshole. If it were possible to just kiss someone you don't give a shit about and move on, don't you think everyone would be doing it all the time? I'd go ham on Roger and produce at Russ's Market if that were the case."
"People don't say ham anymore," I corrected as I heard a meow and Karen jumped onto my stool. "And it wasn't like that. It wasn't normal kissing with feelings involved. It was an experiment that we both signed off on."
"That you really liked, right?"
he asked, waggling his silver eyebrows.
"If you both really liked it, you're gonna do it again. You're gonna go ham on making out. I'll fucking say what I want to say, thank you very much, and you know it."
"So?" I set my hands on both cats' backs so they'd sit. "If we're in agreement about the fact that it doesn't matter, why not do it again?" He shook his head like I was an incorrigible child and said,
"Because feelings eventually come with chemistry, whether you want them to or not."
"Bullshit," I argued. "It's a conscious decision, not an inadvertent reaction."
"You keep telling yourself that, Poopsie."
"Poopsie." I put my hand on Joanne's back as she started doing circles on my lap again.
"Really? You're like the damn language police tonight. Maybe talk to me when you haven't been out playing Taste the Tonsil with Julian the Hot."
"Have I told you lately how much I love you?"
"Keep it in your pants, Soph. I'm far too old for you."
Chapter 22. Sophie.
"Hello?"
I opened the fridge and grabbed the orange juice, holding the phone between my head and my shoulder.
"Hey, Maxie."
"What the fuck?" he growled, sounding like he was eating the phone. "Soph."
"Are you still sleeping?" I asked, opening the half-gallon jug and pouring juice into my cup. "What time is it?" Since the breakup, I'd become a terrible sleeper.
I usually went to bed early around 9, then woke up every few hours until I couldn't take it anymore, and just got up for the day around 4. I missed the days of good slumber.
It's fucking 5:42 on a Sunday, you psychopath, he said, his gravelly voice full of irritation. Is this an emergency?
Oh my God, no. I guess I thought it was later than that. Just call me when you're up.
Well, I'm up now, for fuck's sake.
Wow, someone is very foul-mouthed and grumpy in the morning. I'd meant it as a joke, but when he promptly disconnected the call, I assumed he didn't find it funny. So naturally, I FaceTimed him. I didn't expect him to answer, honestly, which was why I gasped when he popped up on the screen.
You think you're hilarious, don't you?
He was obviously still lying in bed because his phone was super close to his face. And I could only just make out his shoulders in the darkness of the frame. I kind of do, yes, I said, picking up my cup.
So why are you bothering me this morning? Just being a dick, or was there something else?
His words were harsh, but I could see the twinkle in his sleepy eyes. I had some ideas overnight, and I kind of want to do some plotting with you.
What kind of plotting?
He asked, and it was disgusting how good he looked while still half asleep. My hair usually stuck up everywhere, but his looked sexily tousled.
I'm not going to prison for you or anyone.
When I woke up at 2:15 a.m., I had an epiphany. Well, actually, I had multiple epiphanies, but the first one was that it felt good to have a friend again. I mean, yes, I had work friends, and Asha was still my bestie on the other side of the country, but Stuart had become such a big part of my life that we inadvertently pushed everyone else out of my daily life. So I'd been kind of alone since the holidays. It was nice having someone to exchange mindless banter with again. My other overnight epiphanies were as follows. Larry was wrong about kissing. I needed to get my eyebrows microbladed. A shoulder tattoo would be cool, and I needed to call my parents and find out if diabetes ran in our family. Just a little planning to get the most out of our friendship milking.
That OJ looks good.
I lifted my glass. It is good. Max sat up in his bed, and yes, he definitely had shoulders. Good Lord.
I'm going to need some coffee before we start scheming, since I don't have any OJ.
If you want to meet me at Starbucks, I'll buy. That would be perfect, because I really wanted a latte, and it was better if I explained my ideas in person. Karen climbed onto my lap and was instantly purring, the sweet baby, which meant that Joanne would be there any minute. He made a dismissive noise. The man really did speak in grunts in the morning, and said,
I have to run first. Want to meet at...
I actually need to run, too. Want to run to Starbucks together? I ran 4 times a week, usually taking Sundays off, but if I could get in an extra couple miles with a jogging buddy, that would be a bonus.
No offense, he said, dragging a hand over the top of his head, but I don't really run with other people, and you're far too chipper in the morning.
You're afraid you're too slow, that you can't keep up with me. I stretched my arms over my head and said, I get it. His eyes narrowed.
You can't be serious.
But I am.
My legs are so much longer than yours.
Weird thing to brag about.
You won't be able to keep up.
Are there hats that fit your big head?
I'll meet you in front of your building in 15 minutes, wise ass.
Max got up and started walking, but he was going too fast for me to see more than just a blur of everything he was passing,
and you better start stretching.
See you in 15, jackass. He finally smiled then, one of his small, amused smirks. And it felt like success.
Chapter 23. Max. So, if you let me know when you're going to be at your parents' house, boom, I'll surprise you with a FaceTime call. Just all casual, like, hey, I'm at Von Maur and can't remember what size shoe you wear. And at 9 a.m. on a weekday, when my boss is doing her coffee walkabout, you can spontaneously FaceTime me to tell me a funny story about your drive to work. It was very possible that Sophie was some sort of a robot. Not only was she firing on all 12 cylinders for an early Sunday morning, basically giving me bullet points while we jogged the downtown streets, but she was freakishly fast and didn't even sound winded. We can literally talk about whatever because the only thing that matters is that they see us FaceTiming, right? She looked pleased with herself, though her eyes were covered by sunglasses, so I couldn't see that twinkle of victory she got whenever she thought she was right. And super casual things, like picking up a pair of shoes for you, suggest intimacy without confirmation. I actually need a new pair of dress shoes, so if you find yourself at Von Maur, buy me the shoes. Size, please? 14. I'm going to be mature and not make a penis joke. You've already said penis, so why stop now? Well, I just assumed that, since you nearly aspirated your water when I mentioned sex yesterday, you might have a widowmaker right here on the sidewalk if I talk about your junk. I looked down at her, and she was smirking up at me like she'd just made some sort of power move. No, I'm actually fine with it. I'm not a creep, but if you want to discuss, fire away. I think we both know I cannot, she admitted around a grin. I'm far too HR to joke about genitalia in public. But in private? Just try and get me to shut up about dicks. I lost it at that, and it was fucking hard to run while cracking up. But Sophie was funny as hell. She came across as pretty type A, aside from her night of Twinkie tossing, but that had been tequila and grief-induced. But she was quick with the jokes. Starbucks is a block away, she said, the morning breeze playing with the blonde strands that had come loose from her ponytail. So maybe we should stop and take some sort of an action shot to post. She'd tagged me on Instagram last night, just as I was getting home, so we now followed each other. And yes, I'd crept on her page again, but it had only taken a second, because unlike most people, me included, she hadn't gone back after her breakup and scoured her ex from her account. No, she'd just stopped posting entirely. So her feed was still filled with pictures of Stuart, of selfies of them together, only now there was a picture of me right at the top, like a statement. Which gave me some sort of satisfaction that I couldn't explain as anything other than insane attraction to the first person I'd kissed since Lily. That's what I'd decided when I'd been unable to sleep last night, because Soph was all over my mind. Yes, she was gorgeous and funny and absolutely worthy of feelings. But the feelings I had weren't for her so much as they were for getting back out there. I hadn't touched a woman in 2 years, so jumping right into the kissing up against a building end of the pool, 0 to 100, was bound to make me a little short of breath. I stopped when she did, but I shook my head, breathing hard. I don't think a sweaty picture is necessary. Stop that. The little shit took a picture of me without warning. She looked down at her phone and immediately started laughing. Hard. A big belly laugh that had her throwing her head back. Let me see, I said, reaching for the phone. She jerked away. No. Soph, I warned. 1 second, she said, messing with her phone as I tried taking it from her. Max, stop. She turned her back to me, basically boxing me out like we were playing basketball, and I caught a whiff of something fruity as her blonde ponytail smacked me in the face. Sophie Dickhead Assbag Steinbeck, you give me that phone this instant. Look, she said suddenly, her mouth sliding into an enormous grin. Already posted. She held up her phone, and though it was hard to see the display in the bright sun, I squinted and saw, oh, that little shit. She'd posted a picture of me dripping with sweat, my mouth half open, with the caption, "Someone couldn't keep up with me, #winded. Such a little shit. And she was beaming like she'd just single-handedly won the World Cup. Delete it. Oh, I don't think so, she said, her nose crinkling as she looked up at me. I could see my reflection in her Ray-Bans, and I looked grouchy. And so damn winded. Delete it, or I will, I said, reaching for her phone. No, she yelled, and started running. The bad thing for her was that my legs were much longer than hers. I think she could kick my ass and outrun me any day long distance, but it was going to be easy to catch up to her. She was squealing as she ran away, which made it hard to run because I was laughing, but I was still on her in 3 seconds. Instead of grabbing her phone, I wrapped my arms around her waist and lifted her off the ground so she couldn't get away. "Max!" she screamed, laughing and squirming in my arms. "Give me the phone," I said calmly. "Never!" she yelled, holding it out in front of her. My arms were also longer than hers, so it was almost like she was offering it up to me. "Thank you very much," I said, and grabbed the phone before carefully setting her back on her feet. She turned around and looked up at me, and suddenly I thought, what a good fucking morning. Because there I was, on a warm, summery morning, surrounded by the slowly awakening city, and her pretty face was smiling up at me. Good fucking morning to me. I reached out with my free hand and removed her sunglasses, almost like my hand was working independently of the rest of my body. Warm brown eyes, with 100 shades of freshly baked cookies speckled inside, squinted up at me as her smile settled into something small and content. "I like your eyes," I said, my mouth now joining my hand and functioning separately from my brain. "Thank you." Her gaze dropped down to my lips, and she said, "Maybe Larry was right." "Larry?" Her eyes met mine again, and she said, "I told him about the whole kissing for me thing, and he called me a stupid asshole." "Larry did? The little old man she lived with?" She nodded. "He said that I was going to go ham on your mouth every time I saw you, or something like that." I heard a roaring in my ears, but I said, "Do people still say ham?" "No," she said quietly, giving her head a shake. "I told him that." I cleared my throat and couldn't help but notice her long, graceful neck. The ponytail left it exposed. "Of course you did. But he said that we wouldn't be able to stop ourselves from doing it again and again." "Yeah?" I pushed a tendril of blonde hair behind her ear with my knuckle, her sunglasses in my fist. She nodded again. "Obviously, we have self-control, and he's wrong, but every time I look at your mouth, I want to do it again." "Same," was all I could manage, realizing that it hadn't been the red lipstick that had made me nuts. It was apparently just her lips. "It seems like a bad idea, though." "Does it?" I asked. "Self-indulgent," she said, but the words came out so softly, almost like a breath. "Decadent." "It is that," I agreed. "So, we should probably chill." As if a switch was flipped, she cleared her throat and she was back to all business. "Let's go get our coffee." I held out her phone and sunglasses, which she took and put on, and we started walking in the direction of Starbucks. "I can't believe you told Larry," I said, almost more to myself than her. Yes, he was a progressive dude, but he couldn't be younger than 75. "About your oral experimentation." "First of all, ew, never call it that again," she replied. "But he's actually super easy to talk to. I think I tell him everything."
"You do?"
She nodded. "I'm fairly certain he's my best friend, apart from Asha, which may or may not say something about me."
"That you're not ageist, maybe?" I suggested.
"We'll go with that," she said, as she approached Starbucks and grabbed the door handle. "I actually like that a lot. Thanks, Maxie."
"You're going to have to stop calling me that."
"I enjoy what it does to your face, though."
"Explain," I said,
following her into the cafe. "It's like this," she said, stopping and making me nearly run into her. She took off her sunglasses, and her entire face scrunched into an enormous scowl. "This is what you look like when I call you Maxie."
"I can assure you I've never looked that ridiculous in my entire life."
"Really?"
She turned away from me and walked up to the counter.
"Really? Can I please get a venti pike and a venti Americano with a splash of cream?" she said to the barista.
I was surprised that she remembered my order from the last time we'd been at Starbucks.
"Can I get a name for the cups?" the barista asked. "Sophie for the Americano," she said, "and the pike is for Maxie."
And then she whipped around and took a picture of my face.
"What are you doing?"
She looked down at her phone, and her face split into a huge grin. "Look," she said, throwing her head back and laughing while holding her phone out to me. I glanced down at her phone and saw the photo she had just taken of me, looking like a grade-A asshole. So I took her phone, stuck it in my pocket, and moved down to the pickup spot. "Excuse me, sir," Sophie said, still giggling, following me and bumping her body into mine on purpose. "I think you might have accidentally grabbed..." Her voice trailed off and the smirk disappeared as she looked at something behind me. In a split second, a storm crossed her face and the sun was gone. She looked like she'd seen a ghost. I turned around, and for a minute I had no idea what she was looking at. But then I saw him. It was that fucker ex of hers, Stuart, walking in our direction with a cute redhead. He looked smug as he headed for Sophie, whereas she looked completely frozen, which was surprising because she saw the guy at work every day, didn't she? I had no idea what their dynamic was, but I didn't like the expression on her face. "Stuart!" I shifted my weight to one foot and looked down at the guy, who had to be a good 6 inches shorter than me. He was wearing running gear, the whole shiny Nike ensemble right down to the marathon fanny pack with two bottles of water, and I hated him on sight. His friend was also wearing a running outfit, but I didn't know enough about her to care. Stuart glanced at me, obviously wondering how I knew his name, and then he did an actual double take. "That's right, I'm the guy you took a cheap shot at during your wedding." Stuart swallowed and glanced at Sophie. "I've kind of been hoping I'd run into you," I said, even though I hadn't. "Let's go," Sophie said, wrapping her hands around my arm. "But honey," I said, wanting to fucking pound him for making her cry and destroying her life. "Stuart just got here." She looked at me like I'd lost my mind. "Come on." I glared at Stu as she pulled me toward the door, and as someone who'd now punched a total of one person in my life, it was absurd that I wanted to beat the shit out of him with every fiber of my being.
Chapter 24. Sophie.
"Good morning, Sophie," I heard from the office to my left.
"Good morning, Ben," I replied on autopilot, not even looking in that direction as I excitedly headed for my desk. I'd noticed while waiting for my coffee that Edie had liked the picture I'd posted on Instagram of Max and me before the wedding, so I was feeling good about the day's promise.
"Morning, Sophie,"
from my right, to which I responded.
"Morning, Dallas."
"Morning, Soph,"
from the cubicle in the corner. "Morning, Betsy," I murmured, shooting her a big smile.
"Good morning, Sophie,"
Isabel said, smiling with her head tilted, like she was surprised by my morning perk. "That's right, Izzy, I'm a ray of damn sunshine."
"Good morning, Iz," I replied. "How was your weekend?"
"Good. Yours?"
"Stupendous," I said, not slowing my stride or lowering my grin.
"Good morning, Sophie," Stuart said.
"Good morning,"
I said loudly, still smiling, then added in a voice so low only he could hear, "You piece of shit."
"Good morning, Sophie,"
I heard from the corner office.
"Good morning, Amy," I replied, feeling triumphant as I entered the HR area.
I had made it to my department and could stop pretending to be a damn delight. I could see that Edie was already in her office and on the phone, so I gave her a hand raise, to which she responded with a subsequent chin nod and a big-ass smile of her own. Yes, yes, yes. I logged in and got right to work because I knew I had another meeting-filled day ahead of me. I got lost in the work until about 30 minutes later when Edie came over and stood beside my desk with her arms crossed.
"So how was the wedding?"
she asked, grinning. It really was lucky to have a boss who genuinely had my best interests at heart. Everyone else in our department was at a seminar, so I was able to say without worrying about being overheard. "It was a blast. We didn't..." I was interrupted by my phone. I was getting a FaceTime call. We'd never followed up after I mentioned it while we ran, but Max was FaceTiming me. It showed up as Maxie in my contacts, which Edie was definitely staring at. Do you need to get that? She asked. I stammered, not sure what to do because we hadn't finalized details. No, I can call him. Just take it while everyone's gone, she said, looking like she wanted to laugh. We can talk later. Okay, but it'll be quick. I hit the green button and Max appeared on screen, in a backward baseball hat, which I usually found to be a hot but douchey fashion choice. It looked good, but the men who wore it that way tended to be arrogant and incredibly fond of their own opinions. On him, though, it just looked hot. Hello? I said, then couldn't remember if you said hello when you answered a FaceTime call or not.
Soph?
He said, kind of loudly, his eyes twinkling as he looked at me. Did I leave my wallet at your apartment? I spurted out a little laugh in shock because that was the last thing I'd expected him to say. I don't think so. I mean, I haven't seen it. I remember you grabbing your jacket on your way out, but I was so tired that I barely remember you leaving. His lips turned up into a naughty smirk, and I felt like a child, like I was about to dissolve into a fit of giggles. Did you maybe leave it at Starbucks yesterday morning?
No, you paid, remember?
That's right.
Because you forced me out of bed before 6 on a Sunday, you sadist.
I lowered my voice a little and said, I'm so glad you were with me. His lips pursed in an aw, kid, kind of way, and he looked sweet when he said,
Me too. Are you good, by the way?
I nodded. Thank you. He got a devilish look in his dark eyes and said,
You know I would have kicked his ass for you, right?
Are you a fighter, Parks? I asked, smiling because he seemed too smart to be a hothead.
I delivered the first punch of my life at the wedding last weekend, so absolutely I am.
Seriously? My mouth fell open.
Well, you dropped that guy, so bravo.
He leaned closer to the camera, and his voice was almost a whisper when he said,
I'm a fucking superhero, remember?
I gave him an eye roll, but my stomach felt light at the sound of his sex voice. Did you need anything else, Maxie? Because some of us have work to do.
What are you doing for lunch?
What? I wasn't sure if this was real or pretend. I brought a Lean Cuisine cauliflower crust pizza.
Gross. Want to grab Jimmy John's instead?
With you? I teased, liking the playfulness in his face.
I mean, I suppose you can sit at a different table and speak to strangers if you prefer.
Yes, I'll do that.
What time do you take lunch?
Noonish, I said, still a little unsure if he was actually going to take me to lunch or if this was all in the name of milking.
Then I'll pick you up at noonish for our non-talking, non-table-sharing lunch.
Looking forward to it, I said. And you better find that wallet because I'm not paying again.
Goodbye, ballbuster, he said, grinning.
Later, I replied, still smiling as he disconnected the call. I put my phone into my pocket, but not without noticing that Edie was over at the door of Marcia, one of the other VPs, and they were smiling and looking in my direction. That set me off, and I was on fire the rest of the morning, responding to emails at a fast clip and working on reports and generally being an overachiever. But then an email came in from Stuart. Fucking Stuart. I still couldn't believe that he was seeing her, the girl who, before yesterday, I'd only seen in the naked picture I'd found on my fiancé's phone mere hours before our wedding. When I looked up and saw him smiling with Becca, it was like a fresh hit of betrayal. I'd panicked at the sight of them, anxiety causing me to totally freeze. But then Max had rescued me yet again. He hadn't actually done anything other than tower over Stuart and look threatening, but it felt like everything, like some sort of win. Especially when I knew Stuart was sensitive about his height. It gave me great pleasure to see him have to look up at Max in fear. Although, to be fair, Max had looked dangerous when he'd stared down Stuart. I honestly hadn't been able to stop replaying it in my head over and over again. Also, he hadn't asked any questions afterward, for which I was eternally grateful because I'd been too sad to speak. He asked if I was okay when we went outside, and when I just nodded, he moved on and proceeded to tell me the architectural history of all the buildings we passed on our walk home. I clicked on Stuart's email, which had been sent to the HR and marketing departments as well as his entire sales team. I started reading, but it was filled with so much unnecessary language and so many cheesy buzzwords that my teeth were gritted by the time I reached the signature line. God, he was so full of himself. I just hate him so much. Normally, I prided myself on drilling into his messages to find the one tiny thing he was wrong about and point it out, tactfully, to everyone on the chain. Was it petty? Probably. But not as petty as the way he told me the week after our canceled wedding that even if he hadn't cheated, he didn't love me anymore. I don't want to hurt you, Soph, but you need to let the cheating thing go. We fell out of love a long time ago, and that's what ended things. Fell out of love. Like it was simple. Like we'd fallen out of a boat. Oops, we fell out. If love was real, you couldn't just fall out of it. I inhaled through my nose and focused on the email, and I found it. I found his one tiny little mistake. I hit reply all and typed. Stuart, this looks fantastic, and we're here to help. Circle back with exactly what level of support you'll need. Great job, Sophie. It was almost painful hitting send, but I was going to get that promotion sooner rather than later, damn it. Max texted me at noon, letting me know he was there, and we had a perfectly casual lunch together. It was weird how comfortable I felt with him already, and I was genuinely disappointed when it was time to go back to work. "Is your office nearby?" I asked as he pulled into the lot and I unbuckled my seatbelt. "No, downtown," he said, looking over at me through dark Oakleys. "But we've got a project over here, so I'm basically in the area every day." "Is that right?" I asked, opening the door. "Maybe we could do this again sometime. As friends, of course," I grinned. "Of course," he said, and I wished I could see his eyes behind his sunglasses when his voice got quiet like that. "Tomorrow?" "Tomorrow it is."
Chapter 25. Max. Sophie Steinbeck. Sophie was FaceTiming me. It was only 7:20 a.m. and no one was around yet on my side of the building, so I answered on my Mac instead of my phone. "Good morning, sunshine." And there she was, in full color. Wavy blonde hair, red lips, black glasses, and a pinstriped button-down that was incredibly businesslike. I was staring at an executive, right down to the leather-banded Apple Watch, yet it was tough to think of her like that when I knew the way she looked after a hot 3-mile run. And what she looked like drunkenly tossing Twinkies from a balcony. And what she looked like after being thoroughly kissed. "Are you wearing glasses, Maxie?" she asked, sounding shocked as she smiled at me through the screen. Do I really have to answer that question? Okay, obviously you are, but I didn't know that you wore glasses too. And now you do. And now I do. She picked up her cardboard Starbucks cup and said, "So, the craziest thing happened to me on the way to work." "Tell me," I said, and wondered if this was fake, all part of the plan, which would be moot since no one was even near me right now, or if she was about to share an actual event. "Larry asked me to drive his van today because he's going to the barber shop and wanted to borrow Nick. Said he'd like to roll up in a hot roddy." I fucking loved Larry, even though the old guy didn't seem to like me. "Okay. So I'm driving his full-size conversion van, aka the creeper van, and the shocks are making a weird noise when I go over bumps, or the wheels. Something just feels off, right?" "You seriously agreed to drive a conversion van to work?" That seemed very generous, to be willing to be seen getting out of something like that in public. "Yes, now pay attention." She gave me a look and continued. "So something feels off, right? But everything is still going along fine until I go over a speed bump in the Burger King parking lot." "You got Burger King?" I asked. "No, I was cutting through their lot to beat the slow drivers to the Starbucks drive-thru." "It connects?" "Yes." Another look. "And you use it to cut people off?" I could absolutely see that about her. "Stop judging and listen." "Listening?" "I go over the speed bump, and I hear this loud noise and then kind of a grinding sound. As I'm freaking out about the noise, I see a wheel roll past me and down the parking lot's incline. A wheel? A wheel. My wheel. The wheel to Larry's van came off while I was driving it. Are you shitting me? I asked, trying hard not to laugh, but failing. I looked up and my dad was in the doorway, his eyebrows raised to ask if he could come in or not. Well, shit, might as well do this milking thing. I gestured for him to come in as I said, Are you okay? Sophie said, Yes, and don't laugh yet, it gets better. Impossible, I said. And then my dad walked around to stand behind me and look at my computer. Apparently, my gesture to come in meant he was invited into my call. Sophie, this is my dad, by the way, I said, and gestured over my shoulder with my thumb. Dad, this is my friend Sophie. Great to meet you, Sophie, he said, so pathetically happy that I wanted to immediately disconnect the call. Nice to meet you too, she said, her cheeks getting a little pink as she smiled at him. I can let you guys go. Don't you dare, he interrupted. And I shook my head at Sophie as my dad said, I heard your story when I walked by in the hall, and now I need to know how it ends. Yeah, lay it on us, Soph, I said, giving her a this-was-your-idea smile. Cute. She rolled her eyes and launched back into it. I went to change the tire, because I knew his spare had extra lug nuts, only the frame of his van is so rusted that every time I get it up on the jack, the frame crumbles and the van drops. Sophie. I leaned closer to the computer, no longer amused. The van fell off the jack? Multiple times, but don't give me that dad look. I'm not an idiot. I wasn't under the van while I was lifting it. I glanced back at my dad, and he looked incredibly smitten with my friend Sophie. So, I had to have the van towed because the tire couldn't be changed, and now Larry is so mad he won't talk to me. Who's Larry? My dad asked. My roommate, she said, which made him frown. Larry's 75, I added, and the smile was back. He's 77, for the record, she said, smiling fondly, but he tells everyone he's 67, shaves 10 years off his birthday every time. Where is your office building, Sophie? My dad asked, leaning a little closer to the Mac monitor. Is that Miracle Hills behind you? She tilted her head. How did you know that? We built half of those office buildings outside your window. I work in the Nesbo building. It used to be Data First. My dad looked very proud of himself when he said, We built your building. Shut up, Sophie said with wide eyes, looking amazed. Seriously? 100%. What floor is your office on? Technically, I have a supercube, not an office, but it's on the east side of the building, and I'm on 6. She held up her phone and did a slow turn so my dad could see the interior. Did they ever knock down the wall on the west side and make it bigger? I don't know. Do you want to see? Yeah, I'd love that, he said, grabbing one of the guest chairs and sliding it over to my desk so he was sitting beside me. If it's not too much trouble. Not at all. As she walked through the building, talking my dad through the different areas, I felt a weird burning in my chest. I wasn't sure if it was good or bad, but something about this situation was making my insides buzz. After 5 more minutes, when Sophie said, And we're back at my desk, I said, We'll let you get back to work now. No, this was great. I cannot believe you built this place. Sophie looked genuinely impressed as she smiled at my dad. Did Maxie tell you we're building the new Hawkins headquarters up the street from you? No, Maxie did not, she replied, giving me a reproachful look as if I should have told her. He just said he had a project in the area. You should come by during lunch and take a look around. He can pick you up on his way over. It's literally on your block. I expected her to politely decline or to lob the ball back to me, but she didn't even pause before replying, I would love that, if Max doesn't mind picking me up. I texted, I'm here. I still couldn't believe she'd said yes. Not only was I surprised she had time for this, but I was certain this meeting between her and my dad was going to screw me over, because there was no way he wouldn't love her. I mean, objectively speaking, she was gorgeous and smart and funny, what's not to like, right? But as much as I wanted to lead him to the idea of me being taken care of, I didn't want him to have expectations for something that was never going to happen either. "Hey," Sophie said as she opened the passenger door, grinning like she knew I hadn't seen her coming. "Why did you let me say yes?" "What?" Her long, tan, smooth legs looked really good in my front seat. "I was being nice to your dad," she explained, smiling like she found the situation funny, "because I knew you'd jump in and get me out of this." "I didn't know what the hell you were doing," I said. "You need to blink in Morse code next time or something. Now the old man's going to think it's serious." "Or something," she said, buckling her seatbelt. "And I'll act super platonic." "Good. And I'll try to speed it up and move it along. Unfinished buildings are hardly exciting." "You don't think so?" she asked as I pulled out of the parking lot. "Well, actually, I fucking love them," I admitted. "But normal people do not." "So do you like your job then?" she asked. "I mean, obviously it's the family business, but do you like it?" "I actually do." "Oh," she said, apparently pleased with my answer. "What's your favorite part?" I glanced over. "Of my job?" She nodded earnestly, as if she really wanted to know. "All of it," I said, not even hesitating. "I get to do a little of everything in my role. Design, drafting, construction, finishes, furniture. So it's this very tangible reward I get when a project is completed. I get to actually see every step in its final form." "That would be rewarding." I pulled in front of the building, and as if he'd been waiting for us, my dad came out the front door with a wave. "Christ, would you look at how excited he is?" There was a smile in her voice when Sophie said, "He is adorable." We spent the next half hour being given the tour guide treatment by my father. Sophie followed him around the building in her shiny black pumps, fitted suit skirt, and a tailored blouse, rocking the hell out of a yellow hard hat. She genuinely seemed to be interested in all the details my dad shared with her, which was a little surreal because it was my project. Seeing Sophie all over my work made me feel some sort of something that I couldn't quite put my finger on. The beams were up, and the exterior was set, and after spending months poring over the plans, I could squint my eyes and visualize how it was going to look when it was finished. Break room over there, vestibule on the north side, conference room upstairs. The nearly there potential always got me. I fucking loved it. As we walked back to the entrance when we were finished, I showed her the 3D renderings on my phone of what it was going to look like when complete. She smiled up at me with dancing eyes and said, "I'd be so excited if I were you that I don't think I'd be able to sleep until it was done." I leaned down a little, so only she could hear, and I said, "Don't tell anyone, but I come here at night all the time just to sit in the dark and imagine it." "Aren't you afraid of falling and breaking your neck?" she asked around a laugh, her shoes clicking on the cement floor. "No," I said, "because I know this building better than I know my own face." "As someone who reads workplace safety data on a daily basis," she said, looking at me over her glasses, "your behavior terrifies me." "Such a buzzkill," I teased. "A buzzkill who is starving. Are you going to feed me or what?"
Chapter 26 Sophie. I buckled my seatbelt as the plane prepared to land in Detroit. Max called me Wednesday night because he'd been asked to do what he called the easiest wedding we've ever scored. The bride and groom in this instance both wanted out, but couldn't bring themselves to call off the wedding and upset the parents, so they were leaving it to the professionals. Us. An added bonus, it wasn't within driving distance, so the unhappy couple had offered to pay for our travel and accommodations. Yes, please. I'd never outgrown the love of planes, people watching in airports and hotel stays, so I was all in on this weekend. Unfortunately, I'd had meetings all day that I couldn't miss, so my plane was coming in later than Max's, and I was going to Uber to the hotel. He'd landed in Detroit at 2:15, and it was now 6:30. He was probably already drunk in the hotel bar. Before I left, Larry warned me to stay away from Max's mouth because he didn't want me to get hurt. He was convinced that either Max or I was going to end up having feelings for the other if we didn't stop with the getting mine kissing game, and it made sense that he'd think that. What he didn't understand, though, was just how opposed we were to relationships and romance and the L-word. He thought I was coming off a breakup and a little bit jaded. He didn't know that I actually knew the truth about love, and everyone else was a fool. Still, I was going to stay away from Max's lips, because I didn't want our non-relationship to progress into some sort of friends-with-benefits situation. I wasn't sure exactly what made the two different, but I knew they weren't the same thing. Probably. But it didn't matter, because I was through playing. When I finally disembarked from the plane and rolled my bag up the jetway, I got a text. Max.
Did you land?
Me. Literally walking off the plane. I'm assuming you made it? Max.
Just ordered a beer at the hotel bar.
Me. Nothing has ever sounded so dreamy. Max.
Mommy to have one waiting for you? Pick your poison, Steinbeck.
Me. Shiner Light Blonde if they have it.
Mick Ultra if they don't.
Max.
Consider it waiting. Have you eaten?
Me.
Wolfed down a pizza before boarding, so I'm good.
Thankfully, the bride and groom had made the arrangements in advance, so the hotel shuttle was waiting outside, and a mere 20 minutes later, I was walking into the hotel lobby. After getting checked in and changing into black leggings and a Celtics sweatshirt, I was hardcore ready for that beer. My room was right next to the stairwell, so I ran down the stairs instead of taking the elevator, and when I walked into the hotel bar, butterflies went wild in my stomach at the first thing I saw. Max grinning at me from his spot at the bar. Even though I wasn't into him, he was almost too attractive to look at. Also, the man could definitely pull off gray sweatpants. Somehow Max looked like a professional athlete in his white Cubs hoodie, gray pants, and Nikes. He didn't look scrubby at all, whereas me in sweats and a hoodie brought to mind assumptions of a hangover or rampant joblessness. And he was wearing a pair of tortoiseshell glasses that made him look like a model, like this was the at-home version of Max Parks in a GQ spread. "Well, hi," he said, his eyes all over me. "Well, hi," I replied as he gestured to my Shiner Light Blonde on the bar. "And also, God bless you."
"Rough day?"
he asked as we both climbed onto our stools. "One fire after another," I said, already dreading Monday morning's follow-ups, which is why I'm switching to vodka after this.
"Perhaps I'll join you," he said, smiling, and his eyes dipped down to my sweatshirt before returning to my face. "I had a day full of fires as well, even from the air."
"Maybe we should just do shots instead," I joked. "Cut out the pesky mixers when we're just looking to take the edge off."
"Clever girl," he said in a dirty voice that made me look at his lips just before he motioned to the bartender and said, "Two kamikaze shots, please."
An hour later, I was buzzing hard. We'd only done two shots, but they'd simmered inside me, mixing with the beer and my exhaustion in the most delightful way. Suddenly, I was unable to make my mouth do anything other than smile as I watched Max watch the basketball game on the TV behind the bar. "Hey, Maxie," I said, patting his arm. "Let's post a sloppy selfie." He raised an eyebrow, but didn't look away from the game. "Sloppy? Tipsy, sloppy, call what you want, but let's capture it." I patted his arm again. "Wow, your arm is really solid, just like your chest. Are you swole under your clothes, kid?" He did look at me then.
"You just said swole and called me kid."
"Yeah, so?" I grinned at the suspicious way he was peering at me, then pulled a Larry and said, "What are you, the language police?" His lips curled into an amused smirk.
"You're drunk."
"You're not?" I asked a little too loudly. "I'm feeling good, but that's a few stops short of drunk." "Paul!" I said, not looking away from Max's hot, dark eyes as I spoke to the bartender. "Can I please get a shot for this guy? A three wise men, but a double if you could. He's got some stops to make."
"No problem,"
I heard, but I couldn't tear my eyes from Max.
"Why?" he asked, his eyes dipping down to my mouth before coming back up again. Did you pick that particular shot, Soph? Because it's what you liked the night you ruined my wedding. You mean the night I saved your life, he corrected, lifting a hand and pushing back the hair that had fallen out of my messy bun. That's what I said. I felt something more than buzzed as our gazes held, and my heart stuttered a little in my chest. The night you saved my life.
Here you go,
I heard as Paul set down the shot, but I still couldn't look away.
Thanks,
Max said, and his gaze didn't waver from me as he lifted the double shot and tossed it back. Do you have cash? I asked, leaning a little closer and lowering my voice. Yes, Max replied, his jaw doing that little flex thing that I found sexy as hell.
Why?
Because I want to kiss you right now and I don't want to wait for my card to be processed. He stood, pulled a money clip out of those beautiful sweatpants, and dropped some bills on the bar.
Let's go.
Before I had a chance to even process his acquiescence, his big hand was wrapped around mine, and he was pulling me off my stool and out of the bar.
Chapter 27 Max. I knew she was buzzed, and I didn't care. I wasn't going to do anything more than kiss her. I mean, I wasn't an asshole, but I'd been dying to taste her mouth since the second we'd stopped kissing on the side of Shirley's diner last weekend. If it was a kiss she was requesting, who was I to deny her? We can't go to one of our rooms, she said as I pulled her through the lobby. Max, wait. I stopped walking and turned to her. What? She grinned, a sexy, tipsy smile, and I swear to God, I felt it in my lungs. That's the only explanation for why I stopped breathing entirely for a full second as my eyes memorized the length of her lashes, the slope of her cheekbones, the soft curve of her lips, and the way she looked at me like she wanted to play. If we go into a hotel room, she said quietly, stepping closer so I could hear her, but no one else could. I don't trust myself not to. She trailed off, raising her eyebrows and tilting her head. Not to what? I asked, even though I knew what she meant. My intent was obvious, and you know it, she said, her grin growing even bigger. But just follow me. She grabbed my hand and walked in the opposite direction of the elevator, dragging me behind her down what felt like the never-fucking-ending first-floor hallway, which was disappointing, because my plan had been to kiss the hell out of her in said elevator, but I was wholly invested in discovering whatever her alternative option was. When I saw the stairwell, I smiled. No one took the stairs, so it was an excellent location for a few stolen minutes alone. Only, when she went through the door, she started walking down the stairs, toward the basement instead of pushing me against the stairwell door like I'd imagined, aka desperately hoped. I followed, down 5 stairs, a landing, and then 5 more stairs, to where the only thing that existed was a door that said, "Laundry, employees only." And it had a locked padlock dangling from its handle. So, no guests would be coming down here, and it was far too late for the laundry department to be open. You are a genius. I was about to say it, but then she grabbed the bottom of her sweatshirt and pulled it over her head. Sorry, but I'm hot. She was wearing a t-shirt underneath, but something about the way she dropped it to the floor and the way her hair was tousled felt like she wasn't. It made me imagine her removing clothing for me without anything underneath. And I fucking lost my cool. My lips were on hers in an instant, and my hands found her waist, yanking her against me. I almost apologized because I hadn't meant to be so rough, but her hands slid under the back of my shirt and gripped, fingernails digging into my skin as she drew her body even tighter against mine. Fuck. I angled my head and kissed her like we were in bed, and I was deep inside her body, and God help me, she made a noise in the back of her throat like I was. I'd feel like an animal for fucking consuming her mouth with my own, for using my teeth and my tongue to absolutely devour her kiss. But I had nothing on her when it came to desire. Sophie's hands moved up my back, so her fingers were on my shoulder blades, and she gripped my flesh so fucking tightly that I hissed out of breath. She nipped at my lips, licked at my tongue, and kissed me like she knew every sexual fantasy I'd ever had and was desperate to bring them all to life. I wasn't sure who instigated it, her or me, but suddenly her ass was in my hands and her legs were wrapped around me. I turned my body and pinned her against the wall. Yes, 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 and she arched against me as I strained against her. Good God. Max, she breathed in between kisses, her mouth tasting like vodka and sweet promise. Your glasses are like foreplay. I chuckled as my left hand slid underneath her t-shirt and I said against her lips, Are you saying you like them? They make me want to ask you for extra credit, Mr. Parks. She sucked in a breath as my fingers discovered sensitive skin, and she said around a whimper, Room. What? I said into her ear as I bit down on her lobe. Let's go, she breathed, her body grinding against mine in a way that nearly made my knees buckle. To your room. Fuck, I groaned, certain I'd never wanted anything more in my entire life as I brought my mouth back to hers. We can't. Why not? She said around the kiss, not removing her mouth from mine. I have protection. Fuck, Steinbeck, I ground out, my pulse pounding in my ears as very graphic images of us in my bed slammed into me. It's not that, for the love of God. It's because you're drunk. No, I'm not, she whispered, nipping at my lower lip before running her tongue over it. Well, I am, I managed, a shiver sliding up my spine as my mouth chased hers, as her willing body squirmed in my arms and her legs tightened around my waist. So we should stop. Her heavy-lidded eyes fluttered open. Stop? If you still want this when you're sober, Soph, I am yours, night or day, I said, meaning every word. Because as she stared up at me, I realized that I was very into her. Not into this chemistry gone wild thing that existed between us, but into her. I was falling for her. What if I call you in 2 hours? She teased, removing her hands from underneath my shirt and lowering her legs to the ground. I tried calming my rapid heart rate as I picked up her discarded sweatshirt and held it out to her. Tonight is off the table. She raised an eyebrow, and I knew I'd made the right decision. She looked faded as hell, and the double shot I'd sucked down was starting to make itself known. My buzz was ratcheting up big time. But what about tomorrow? She asked softly, reaching out to give one of my hoodie strings a tug. Tomorrow, I said, swallowing hard, is anybody's guess.
Chapter 28. Sophie. I wasn't 100% confident I wasn't going to throw up all over the table. After finally falling asleep at 2:30 with a wicked case of the bed spins, I'd awoken at 6 to the world's nastiest headache and an even more wicked hangover. I wasn't much of a drinker, but I remembered from college that greasy breakfast food usually helped. So I'd gulped down 4 Motrin and went straight to the continental breakfast. But now, staring down at the bacon, eggs, and country potatoes, I couldn't be sure the cholesterol gorge would stay down. My phone buzzed as I looked at the morning news show the hotel had selected as breakfast viewing. I pulled out my phone. Max. You are a terrible human for forcing me to do the double shot, and now I shall perish from this hangover. The worst. That actually made me smile in spite of my queasiness.
I texted, I have Motrin if you want some. Max. Okay, so now I'll have to forgive you. What room are you in? That made me think of last night's stairwell makeout session and my begging him to have sex with me. Thank God the details were fuzzy, or I would expire from the embarrassing fact that I'd offered up my supply of condoms and he'd given me a no thank you. The fact that he was hungover, too, made me feel better. I texted, I'm actually down at the Continental Breakfast. Max, greasy food, great idea, on my way. I don't know what I expected, but when Max finally appeared, he looked like shit. He was wearing a t-shirt, basketball shorts, flip-flops, and a head full of tousled hair. His cheeks were rosy and his eyes were bloodshot, and when he sat down across from me, I swear to God, I could still smell the whiskey. Hey there, sunshine. He gave me a look.
Fuck right off, Aspen.